Hello, and welcome back to Lactation Station. I'm Michaela, and I'm so happy to be here with you. Hanging out in my backyard here in Vegas, it's about 82 degrees. It's a great evening, and I've got some exciting things that I want to announce. Last week in my podcast, I mentioned that I had reached out to a supplement company, and they had felt that they weren't a good fit for our community. So I'm actually happy to announce that a few sponsors have joined our community. And one of them is Vita Springs. It's a vitamin company that started in 2001. And as you can imagine, they have just about everything. They have vitamins, health supplements, organic health products, and so much more. And they offer you these things at discounted prices. And if you go over to my website, Lactation Station 2020, and click on their link, there's a coupon code. It's HFS79. And you can get free ground shipping on any orders over $79. And then the next one is Earth Mama Organics. I'm sure that you've heard of them. They make Earth Mama Milkmaid Tea, which I actually drink. It's a really good tea. I really like it. They make safe, clean, and effective herbal solutions for just about everything that you need. If you go, once again, over to the website, to my website, and click on their link, you can explore their website. And they also have given you wonderful listeners a 20% off coupon code. If you can use the coupon code at checkout to get 20% off whatever it is that you order, even if it's just the tea, you know, you should really try it. It's really good. And the coupon code is Lactation Station. It's all one word. And finally, the last one is the Willow Breast Pump. And I'm sure you've probably seen that as well. It's the, it's like the LV. It's just an all-in-one wireless breast pump that fits in your bra. And then you have an app to control the on and off. And the difference between the Willow Breast Pump and the LV Breast Pump is the Willow Breast Pump has collection bags instead of containers, whereas the LV breast pump has the plastic containers that fit in there. So go to the website and click on the link for the Willow breast pump website. And right now, because they're getting ready to come out with their third generation pump, so they're trying to get rid of the second generation pumps, and they have them for $100 off right now. So if you thought about getting one, now is a good time to go over there and check them out. And don't forget, if you haven't already, when you go to the website, subscribe to the email so that you'll be eligible for the May giveaway next week, which is going to be another really cute, fun Milk Maker t-shirt and some more of the TheraPearl breast pads. If you are a member of my group on Facebook, I posted pictures there. If you're not a member of my group on Facebook, you should totally do that. It's Lactation Station 2020 on Facebook. Super easy to find. Okay, so let's get right into it. Today I want to revisit my second episode, the ins and outs of beginning inducing. I have learned a lot since that episode, a lot. And I realized that I made a few mistakes that I want to correct. Then we'll talk more in depth about the different ways you can induce. I originally stated that you don't need anything more than your hands to get started. And while that statement is true, and I stand by that, there are other ways to start, and we'll talk about them. But first, I stated in that episode, inadvertently, that the TENS unit is part of Dr. Newman's protocols, and I was wrong. I actually mixed up some data that I had read. Ken Smith, who is a breast health facilitator for the American Cancer Institute, has a website called Breast Notes. It was on his website that I read about the TENS unit as an alternative method for inducing, not Dr. Newman's protocols. I want to clear that up because I don't want, you know, there are a lot of fans of Dr. Newman's protocols, and I don't want anybody to get upset with me that I inadvertently said something that didn't belong there. That the TENS unit is absolutely not part of his protocols. We are, however, going to talk about the Newman Goldfarb protocols. But first, a little history about Dr. Newman and Lenora Goldfarb. In 1999, Lenora set out to find a way to produce a milk supply to feed her son, who was being born by a surrogate. Lenora contacted Dr. Newman, and together they started on a journey that enabled Lenora to successfully breastfeed her son. So then after that, Dr. Newman wrote a book in 2000 outlining what has now become the Newman-Goldfarb protocols. Okay, so that's a little history about the protocols. But can we actually translate these protocols meant for adoptive and surrogate mothers to meet our needs when we induce for personal reasons like an A&R? Since the original publishing, Dr. Newman has made a few changes to the protocols. He no longer recommends Yasmin for birth control therapy due to increased risk of blood clots. He also stopped recommending the herbs fenugreek and blessed thistle if you're taking domperidone. He has found that adding these herbs does not increase milk production with the dom. And he also notes that these herbs can have a negative effect on some women. Then finally, he stopped using the accelerated protocol. And we're going to talk about that accelerated protocol in a little bit. But he stopped using that. And he suggests that if you don't have 2 months to spend on birth control therapy, that you skip it. Because most mothers can have good results with just pumping and domperidone alone. So the regular protocol was intended for adoptive and surrogate moms with a long lead time. And it starts at the 6-month mark before the baby is born. The protocols that follow are designed to prepare the adoptive or intended mother's breasts for making breast milk, just as it occurs during pregnancy. So I don't think that I'm going to detail, you know, every step of his protocols. If you want more information when I'm done with these, you can Google Dr. Newman Goldfarb protocols. Lenora has a website called Ask Lenora that has everything, you know, more in depth. But I'm going to try to hit on as much of the important information as I can. Okay, so 6 months before your baby is born, you are supposed to take an active birth control pill each day, plus 10 milligrams of domperidone 4 times a day for the first week. And then you increase that dosage to 20 milligrams 4 times a day. And then, you know, you continue on the birth control. And at, you know, some point, your breasts will start to swell. And this is normal because that's what happens during pregnancy. The birth control pill, the combination pill, because it's estrogen and progesterone, will actually suppress milk supply, mimicking what happens during pregnancy. No pumping, no herbs, no nothing except the birth control therapy and the domperidone. Okay, so you continue taking the birth control and the dom at 20 milligrams all the way up until 6 weeks before the birth of the baby. At 6 weeks before the baby is due, you stop the birth control but continue the dom at the dosage of 20 milligrams 4 times a day. Once you stop your birth control, there's a couple things that should happen. You should experience vaginal bleeding. This is normal. It's withdrawal bleeding from the birth control. Dr. Newman says if you do not experience the withdrawal bleeding and you're actually at a fertile age, then you might want to get checked for potential pregnancy. Okay, so then after you stop the birth control, over the next 2 weeks, you start on your pumping schedule, which he suggests pumping for 5 to 7 minutes on a low or medium speed. And then you stop pumping, massage, and then start pumping again for another 5 to 7 minutes. You're supposed to do that every 3 hours. Stopping the birth control while maintaining the dom and then pumping will cause a rapid decrease in the progesterone level, which we already knew that, which causes an increase in the prolactin level, that it's just all mimicking the process of a pregnancy and delivery. And then this process should cause your milk to come in. So according to the protocols, you continue your pumping schedule right up until the baby is born, and then you put the baby to your breast as soon as possible. Okay, so there's a couple of things to note here. The use of a combination birth control pill and the domperidone provides 3 out of the 4 hormones needed to stimulate pregnancy and induce lactation. The 4th hormone is called the human placental lactogen, and that's only available during pregnancy. It comes when your body expels the placenta, and then your breasts start to create colostrum. That's why women who induce don't make colostrum, because you don't have that human placental lactogen. You just start with pre-milk. There's no colostrum that gets made. And an interesting note, in some lab tests, I read a study on some breast milk that they did some lab tests on. Induced mother's milk is the equivalent to a mother's milk at 10 days postpartum, which is considered mature milk. So that's interesting. Okay, anyway, you can start the birth control therapy at any time in your cycle because you're taking it for your breasts and not your uterus. You know, that's pretty interesting too, because a lot of times people freak out about birth control, but you're not trying to prevent a pregnancy. Ironically, you're using birth control to mimic a pregnancy. So it doesn't matter when you start it. Okay, so that's the regular protocol. Let's take a look at the accelerated protocol. This protocol recommends microgestin for 30 to 60 days nonstop, no sugar pills, just the actual birth control, and then together with 20 milligrams of the domperidone 4 times a day. If significant breast changes occur within 30 days, the birth control pill stops and the domperidone continues, and the same pumping schedule from earlier begins, where you pump 5 to 7 minutes, then you stop and massage, and then you pump again for 5 to 7 minutes every 3 hours. Dr. Newman notes that if you are over the age of 35 or you're unable to use a combination pill, replace it with either Provera 2.5 or Protrium 100 milligrams. There are health risks associated with combination pills for women over the age of 35. And if this is something you decide to do, you definitely need to discuss it with your doctor if you're over the age of 35. Significant breast changes are increases in breast size, at least 1 cup larger, breasts that feel heavy, full, painful, or tender. So once you've completed 30 days of birth control and DOM, as well as significant changes in the breast, you can stop the birth control, maintain the DOM, and start a pumping schedule. Dr. Newman recommends a double electric pump, and you should pump every 3 hours and once during the night. The arrival of breast milk while pumping does follow a particular pattern. It begins with clear drops. Remember, inducing does not produce colostrum. The clear drops will become more opaque and whiter in color. Once the drops appear, they are followed by milk spray that will turn into steady streams of milk. Remember, there is no way to know or predict how long this process will take, because everybody's body responds differently. Okay, so what is our takeaway on these two protocols? With the accelerated protocol, I feel this would be the best way to utilize his protocols for those of us that are inducing for personal reasons that aren't a baby. If you have the time and inclination to start birth control therapy, this is, in my opinion, the best way to go. Having said that, I did say earlier that Dr. Newman no longer recommends this protocol if you don't have at least 30 days for birth control. So unless you're going to spend several months on birth control therapy, I don't feel Dr. Newman's protocols will really work, with the exception of his DOM dosage. But by saying they won't work, I don't mean they don't work. Clearly they do. Hundreds of women have used them and been successful. But if you're inducing for personal reasons, such as an A&R, do you really want to spend 30 to 60 days on birth control therapy? That's a decision, I guess, you know, only you can make. Okay, so let's look at the last protocol, the menopause protocol. It's not much different than the accelerated protocol. Dr. Newman suggests you replace your hormone replacement therapy with microgestin or Ortho 135 for 60 days, along with 10 milligrams of domperidone 4 times a day for the first week, then increase to 20 milligrams 4 times a day. So those are the three protocols as listed by Dr. Newman. After much research, it's clear that these protocols are an effective and wonderful tool for those moms who want to induce for the purpose of feeding a baby. However, if you're inducing for other personal reasons, such as an A&R, you're probably not going to want to start 2 to 6 months in advance with birth control therapy. I did want to talk about these protocols and put them out there. I've had several people mention them to me, and I do know women that have used them. I just don't think the length of time it takes to get to where we want to be makes them a viable option. I do, however, like Dr. Newman's DOM dosage schedule. The max dose is 20 milligrams four times a day. The suggested beginning is 10 milligrams four times a day for a week, and then increase to 20 milligrams four times a day. This increase should be gradual, and it is advised to continue the DOM from initiation to whenever you decide to stop lactating. Once lactation is established, you can consider slowly decreasing your DOM if you want to, but if you notice a decrease in your supply, you can always increase it back up. And there are people that take more than Dr. Newman's recommended dosage. If you try to increase beyond his recommendations, do so gradually. If you start getting headaches, you should immediately decrease your dose back to what was comfortable before. Okay, so let's move on. Now I want to talk about Kevin Smith, who is a breast health facilitator for the American Cancer Society. His website, breastnotes.com, has some great information on it about breast health. Under the breastfeeding category, he talks about relactation, which I think is more in line with what we would like to accomplish. And just as a side note, if you're interested in some good reading, he talks about breast cancer and how wearing a bra may contribute to breast cancer. I highly suggest that you take a look at it and read it. It's pretty interesting. I don't actually wear a bra that often, no more than I actually have to. But after reading his article and the different information that he has, I'll probably wear one less. Okay, so what Kevin suggests to anyone that approaches him with a desire to lactate without the aid of a delivered child is, no matter what their reason for doing so, he has several points that he suggests you follow. And the first one is to tell your body what you want. Basically, you're telling your body that you want it to provide milk. So you're going to start a schedule, and you're going to treat your breasts and massage and express just like you are producing milk. And he wants you to do it for 10 to 15 minutes every few hours. You just, you know, you use your mind and your body and your hands, and you want your breast to get the message that you need milk. So you need to find some way to stimulate every 3 to 4 hours over a 24-hour period, 7 days a week, both breasts until they're completely emptied. And even if you're not producing milk, you want to treat them like you are. So 10 to 15 minutes every 3 to 4 hours, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And that's the first thing. And you don't want to miss a session. You know, if you were nursing a child and you missed sessions or started to wean that child, then your breasts would start to shut down their milk production. So if you skip a session or you take less milk from one session than you normally would, it's going to signal to your body that you're done and everything's going to start to shut down. So that's his first step. And the second one is to choose a method by which you wish to express milk. He talks about several different methods, and his first choice, the best choice, is using a mouth. And we all know that, you know, having someone suckle is the best way to induce lactation or to keep up your milk production. The thing is, you have to remember that you want to do it properly. The tongue presses your breast up against the roof of the mouth. The tongue should be about an inch or so behind your nipple and not on your nipple. Minimum suction is needed because, you know, your partner doesn't suck milk from the breast. They just merely pick up the milk that's being pressed out of the nipples. That's his first choice, is a mouth. The second choice is hand expression. Either your hand or, you know, if you want to, your partner's hand can, you know, do it too. It doesn't just have to be you all the time. And what you're doing is you're putting pressure on the ducts. Then you stroke forward, squeezing the milk that's inside the ducts and stroking it forward into your nipple. And you're also emptying your ducts that gather the milk behind your nipple. Remember, ladies, don't slide your fingers on the skin. Move the breast skin with your fingers. Sliding your skin over the inner parts of your breasts. And you also have to remember to go around the breast so that you get all the ductal systems that are arranged in the circular arrangement around your nipple. You need to express from each cluster of ducts to get each one to send a signal to your brain to activate that cluster. Continue expressing each breast for 10 to 15 minutes or until your breast is empty, whichever is longer. And remember, because you don't want to just do it for a couple of minutes and you're like, oh, I'm done, you know, I'm bored with this. If you're serious about wanting to lactate, then you have to work your way around the whole breast and you have to do both breasts. So his third choice is the breast pump. And the breast pump is not, it doesn't do the most efficient job of emptying your breast, nor does it provide the deep stroking that is beneficial in lactation. Manual expression or hand expression and expression by mouth will always do a better job of providing the deep manipulation of your breast tissue. The pump works better, actually, after you're lactating fully to empty the breasts when your partner is not there to help you. And if you do choose to induce with a breast pump, remember that completely emptying the breast sends signals to tell your body that you need more milk. So don't stop pumping when the milk stops coming out. You want to continue to pump for the full amount of time, however long you've decided, you know, 15 minutes, 20 minutes, you need to encourage that milk production. Kevin also suggests that you keep your the suction low because the suction does nothing but cause pain. Oh, there's truth in that. If you find that the skin on your nipples or the areola turning white or staying white for a period of time after you remove the pump, then most likely your flanges are too small or you're using too much vacuum. The suction of the pump merely picks up the milk that is produced from the ducts. So if your milk is not coming out, don't increase suction. After you're producing milk, mouth or hand expression should also be used after you pump to completely empty your breast. That's what I do if I use a pump. I'll pump for 20 minutes and then I'll do like 5 minutes on each side hand expression just to make sure that I got everything out of there. Leaving milk in your ducts or in your breast can cause your ducts to become blocked and that can lead to mastitis. Oh my gosh, last month I had mastitis and it was awful. I don't wish that on anybody, ladies. Remember to empty your breast because you definitely don't want to get mastitis. It's difficult to deal with. It makes you feel crappy. You get a fever, your breast hurts. It's just icky all the way around. That, you know, that's another reason why you want to completely empty your breasts. Kevin does note, if you are doing hand expression, the use of a pump does provide some extra stimulation of the nerves that surround your nipple. And I already said this, 5 minutes of pumping after you complete the full 10 or 15 minutes is very beneficial. A good breast pump provides a rapid pulsing stimulation of your areola nerves, which is good to help stimulate lactation. Also, be sure and take a note from breastfeeding mothers. Please, never allow your partner to come off the nipple until suction is removed. I remember when I was breastfeeding my kids, a lot of times I would have to just slide my finger in their mouth to break that suction before I could take them off the breast. And you want to be careful because if you don't, it can cause temporary damage and pain to your nipple. So, and that can be very uncomfortable. It's the same with the pump. You need to be sure that you remove the vacuum before you take the flange off your breast. Just slide, same with a baby, you know, you just slide your finger into the flange and break the vacuum. So the last option he has is the TENS unit. In all honesty, I would choose the TENS unit over the pump. I would have put the pump at fourth and the TENS unit at third, but you know, not everybody sees it differently. The theory on the use of the TENS unit is that the tiny electrical currents, they are used to stimulate the areola nerves in your breast, sending the signals to your brain to turn on the hormones to start your breast producing milk. And the use of the TENS unit will be most effective during the period of time before lactation is established. And one of the benefits of this unit, including the chance for it to stimulate your breasts while you're at work, or school, or in a meeting, or fixing dinner, or when other family members are around, you know, or whatever, you know, you choose to continue to do these things without others being aware that your breasts are being stimulated. It is also recommended that you do not use the TENS unit for all your sessions, but that you only use them where you're not able to sit down and express your breasts properly or your partner isn't around. And those are the times when you should be using the TENS unit. Now, when I started lactating, I used my TENS unit first. I did hand expression, and then I used the TENS unit, and then it wasn't until a little later that I added the pump, because I could go about my day, and, you know, at that point, I didn't know a lot about pumps, so I wasn't really trying to get, you know, a pump yet. I wanted to learn more about them. So I used the TENS unit. I wore it all the time. I just put it on in the morning, and then I, you know, had the little control box in my pocket. And if I was out and I needed to stimulate, you know, if it was time or whatever, I just turned it on. And I did that all the time. I slept with them on, you know, and in the middle of the night, I just woke up and turned them on. You know, that it works really well for me. Kevin's next point is, after you're producing the amount of milk that you want to produce, you can cut back on the number of expression sessions that you do per day. However, if you notice that you start to produce less milk than you want, just add another session back. So the more milk you request beyond what you're currently producing, the more you will make. We all already know it's just a case of supply and demand. You know, Kevin, there's a lot of things that he talks about that I'm not going to go into depth about. He talks about the letdown reflex and conditioning your body to respond to certain stimulus, which I talked about that in a previous episode with the Pavlov's dog experiment. That is, you know, that's a real thing. You can condition your body to respond to certain stimulus, have it, you know, create a letdown reflex when your body does respond. Like I said in that episode, I have gotten used to my partner's cologne, so now when I smell his cologne, I have a letdown, which I guess could be frustrating if I was out and somebody else was wearing that cologne. It might be, you know, a little embarrassing, but that's what works for us. Kevin also talks about herbs and medications, and it is his opinion that you don't start anything, any herbs or any medication or anything like that until you've exhausted all the other steps. And after several months of true conscious effort, you're not getting any milk. Then, you know, you can go ahead and start adding herbs or medication, whatever it is that you think is going to help you to get to where you want to be. It is his belief that some people tend to rely on the herbs to do the work, hoping to bypass the physical part of the lactating process or to try to reach their goal quicker. You know, and there are some women that do not get results from herbs like they expected, or they become frustrated. Remember that everyone is different in how their bodies function. So, you know, what works for some is not going to work for others. You just have to keep that in mind. And there is also some concern about the side effects that some herbs can have on you, you know, as well as possible interactions with drugs that you may currently be taking. So if you're going to use herbs or hormones or anything like that, you know, you're strongly encouraged to speak with your doctor or your medical care provider before you use them for lactational purposes. If they're working for someone, then that's great. You should also remember hydrating yourself. Now, I've said to people, and I've been told that I'm wrong, but I'm not, that you only need to drink how much you need to drink. You don't have to oversaturate yourself. As a matter of fact, it can be harmful to overhydrate. You know, Kevin kind of says the same thing on his website. He says you should drink at least what you should be drinking each day normally. Too many of us do not drink what we should. Drink to thirst. If you're thirsty, drink. If you're not thirsty, don't drink. You know, as long as you're staying hydrated, that's what really matters. So those are Kevin's steps in a nutshell for relactation. If you'd like to read those steps further, you can visit his site at breastnotes.com. All right, so what can we take away from this? Well, I personally think his steps are more in line with someone inducing for personal reasons like an A&R. There's a lot of helpful information in both instances, And if you want to read more about either one, the Neumann Goldfarb protocols or Kevin's steps on relaxation, they are both available online. When I began my inducing journey, there was a lot of trial and error, learning what worked for me and what didn't. Hand expression for me is still the best way for me to empty my breasts when my partner's unavailable. I didn't add Dom until I already had an established milk flow, but clearly we see with Dr. Neumann that you can add Dom if you like, when you like. And initially, I didn't really know anything about galactagogues or herbal supplements, so I started without any of those. After reading and learning, I sorted through so many different kinds, trying to find what might help. But the truth is, my body did it on its own. I still had the misconception at this point that I should be producing copious amounts of milk. And that's when I started looking at different supplements. Not everyone is as lucky as I was to just be able to start right away. You know, I know that. I spoke with a woman not too long ago that told me her prolactin levels were so low that without Dom, she'd be unable to produce anything. I think as you work your way along your journey, you're going to sort out what works for you and what doesn't. There will continue to be questions that will come up. I still have questions on things I'm sometimes not sure about. And there are so many reasons why it's important for all of us to continue to support each other and work our way through this journey together. Don't forget, go to the website and check out Vita Springs, the vitamin company, Earth Mama Organics, and the Willow Breast Pump. I'm Michaela, and this was Lactation Station, and I enjoyed our conversation. Have a great night.